I'm Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast, and you can contact us via email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I are going to tackle the NFL, talk a little college football, check in on the Rangers and Caps in the NHL, go over some of our favorite TV shows so far this fall, and then we'll wrap things up with Mike's Beer Blast. Mike, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Missing you. Missing this.
Yeah, it has been a while, so it's good to be back. It's given us some time to digest the fall sports scene.
Yeah, man.
So that's been good. And it's funny, we're doing this, I'd say, a good 20 minutes or so since both of our football teams, the Skins and the Rams, lost. So the wound is still kind of fresh. So this should be definitely be interesting.
Like I told you, though, I don't, the wounds don't hurt anymore. It's just expected.
Yeah, I know.
Man, my team's been losers for 20 years now, so it's just no surprise anymore. I expect the loss.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same boat as you. It's just like, you know, like going into the game sometimes now, it's just like, can they keep it competitive? And, you know, both of our teams did for the most part. Now and they're both funny, both in California.
Yep.
Today, Skins had the 49ers, and like you said, you weren't expecting them to win. But more so, I think with the Skins lately around here, it's been less about the record and more about their quarterback. And I was curious, you know, as a fan of the Skins, do you think some of the criticism RG3 has been getting is fair? Do you think it's a little bit too overblown? It's not just him, it's the whole team. What's your thoughts on all the RG3 talk, especially last week with Gruden getting involved and kind of being a little critical of him in his post-game press conference?
Yeah, telling him to shut up.
Yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah.
You know, I think he brings a lot of the criticism on himself. If he didn't have that attitude and was just kind of shy about everything and said the right things, I think people wouldn't be as pissed off about him. But he's been showboating. I mean, he had an amazing rookie year.
Sure.
So that's great. But yeah, his ego is a little much. His attitude's, you know, sometimes just a little bit over the top. And if he was more mild mannered and kind of said the right things like a Peyton Manning, I think he wouldn't have as much heat on him. Because let's be honest, you know, he's now on his, what, third offensive or second offensive coordinator? So in the last 2 years. So, you know, he's learning a new system. He's only really had a handful of games this year because he got hurt again. So I think it's a combination of him learning and, he just needs to humble himself a little bit, I think. And hopefully Gruden calling him out last week was a spark to him getting on the right path. But I don't know, man. That team's a disaster. Colt McCoy looked good, and I thought, who knows, he could be better than RG3. I think how fascinated everybody was with RG3 when he first came on and had that amazing rookie year, that's worn out. So I just want the team to win, and I know they're not winners now. So, let's punt the season, get a number one draft pick, and hopefully we'll make up for the 3 years that we didn't have one.
Yeah, that's very fair. And you mentioned McCoy. It's funny because the Rams were on at the same time today. And I was kind of flipping back to the Skins game during commercials of the Rams one, and I saw at one point the Skins had like -9 yards passing, and I was about to text you to say, man, who's suiting up the quarterback the second half? But then they got a touchdown drive to make it 7-7, so that point was kind of moot, so it didn't matter at the time. But yeah, it just seemed like the offense is really stalled under him, as opposed to like when McCoy and Cousins were playing at times. It seemed like it just seemed to flow a little bit better. So with your gut feeling, do you think, RG3 is the starting quarterback next year? Or do you think like these last couple games will kind of more determine that it's too early to tell right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too early to tell. They put so much in the guy, you know, wasted so much time and really money because all those draft picks that they missed out on. I'm sure they could have been, you know, looking back. I mean, when they made the deal, me and Dave were like, I can't believe they're throwing the next 3 years of draft picks away for one guy. I think that's just way too much for any guy. But, since they did that, they have to. I mean, they have to at least play him the rest of the season. And then you know, if they want to keep Colt, and he seems like he has some promise, at least for QB2, I think they give him at least the chance in the beginning of training camp next year to make a statement on whether or not he's better than RG3.
Gotcha. I think that's fair. I guess it's kind of like a two-parter here. One, do you think it's Gruden's solely making a call about the quarterback? And two, if it truly is just his call, do you think Griffin would be the QB he'd be playing? Or do you think there's some interference from above with him as far as his
play? I mean, there's always going to be interference until Snyder's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his problem. He's like, you know, he becomes boys with his superstars, and he just needs to stop. Everyone thinks every year when they get a new quarterback, things are going to change, but nothing ever changes. You know, he can't be flying private jets with some of your star players and treating others different than the other players. It's a business, you know?
Absolutely.
You don't see the CEOs of major companies, like, partying up and flying around with their private jets with their top managers on the weekends just because. So, whatever. I mean, and honestly, like I said, I'm just, it's kind of sad, but I'm over it.
Yeah.
I watch the Redskins because I have for my whole life.
Sure.
But I'd much rather watch a Penn State game.
Yeah. I gotcha. And I'm looking at their schedule now. I know they're in Indy next week, so that should be interesting. And then week 14, they'll be hosting the Rams.
Yeah, speaking of the Rams, how do you feel about their season? I mean, it seems like through, you know, we've talked in the last couple years, they've really got some good draft picks. They've got a lot of good players on their team now. Looks like you have a solid defense, but that quarterback is the one thing you're missing. So how do you see that controversy panning out?
Yeah,
do you want to get a Colt McCoy type person, or just wait to see what you can do in the off season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be it's going to be interesting because Bradford's contract, I think next year is his last year. And he's coming off back-to-back years of ACL injury, so the Rams got to be thinking that they can't. There's no way. I don't think there's any way they're going to extend him early. I think that if he's back as a starter next year, that they're going to basically play him out that season, see how it goes. So I think it's going to be more wait and see. I wouldn't be opposed to any decision they make. I mean, I like Bradford, but two injuries, you know, the same spot. It's kind of scary to put any more money. I mean, because he was one of those quarterbacks who kind of came in right before they readjusted the rookie pay scale. So he made a ton of money. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what they decide to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if they cut ties. And it also probably depends on where they end up, you know, in the draft order too. If they take someone, if they have a high draft pick this year.
Yeah.
So
breaking down the Rams, I mean, on the Redskins side, their line is horrible. Special teams is a mess, and their defense is spotty. Where can the Rams improve? What would you like to see the remainder of the season?
I think I like what their defense is good. I think their defense has improved the last few years. It's coming along very well. They played pretty well today. There are a couple times where I thought that Rivers kind of chewed him up a little bit. But they seem to always stand tall, and I think Chris Long's been out with he was out with an injury for a better part of the season. I think he'll be back next week, so that will improve their defensive line. So I'm happy with the play of their defense. They play hard every week, and offensively, I think, you know, the QB is the big thing, especially in the NFL this time of, you know, this day in age. It's all about, you know, your quarterback and your weapon. So
yeah,
at times they just seem kind of limited offensively. Like today, they were down by 10 points late, and I thought, you know, pretty much the game was over, and actually were able to get the ball and actually get it within three. And then on their last drive with a minute left, they get down to the five. I'm like, all right, they're down by 3 points. The worst that happens, they kick a field goal and go to OT. And of course, Sean Hill throws an interception on the five, and it's like, oh, you know, ball game over. So for the Rams, the key thing is just, I think, just continually trying to improve the offense, because that's just the way you win games in NFL now. As much as I love their style of run the football, play good defense, it's just it's tough to win that way in the league now. So for them, it's how many more finding game breakers, I think, is the key thing. You know, I love Tavon Austin's a guy they got to, I think, got to get more involved in the offense. He's just so fast, and every time he touches the ball, there's a chance for a big play. So they need some more guys like that.
Yeah, what about the run game?
The run game, I like. They have they relied on Zach Stacy a lot last year, and this year they have rookie Trey Mason has been really good. I think they've got, and then and also they have Benny Cunningham. So they have three guys that can count on running the ball. So I think that's pretty much set. And then, like I said, their offensive line is holds up pretty well. So I think it's really just, you know, making sure they have the quarterback, which is obviously this, like, one of the hardest things to do is to find that guy who's just going to carry your franchise for a decade.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, because I think that, like you said,
I know your pain.
Yeah, because I know, like, you see how tough it is. I mean, the Redskins thought they had it, you know, a couple of years ago when they drafted Griffin, and it's kind of unraveling a bit. So it's just such a challenge. So yeah, I think if the Rams can figure that out, I think they could be in decent shape. But part of me was thinking, you know, the Bears are so Bears fans are so just kind of done with Jay Cutler. I'm like, send him over. We'll take him. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'd be happy with that. So, and the Rams are still a young team, so it's just I think growing up a little bit too. Sometimes they take some silly penalties and stuff. So, but that'll come in time. So yeah, QB, another weapon or two, and I think that they can, you know, make a push. I mean, look what Arizona's done the last 2 years. You know, they're 10-6 last year. they lost. Lost today, so they're 9-2. So it's not impossible to try to break through, and it's not just the Niners and the Seahawks anymore.
Yeah.
So there's potential there. So I'm happy with the way they're playing. I actually picked the Rams too. I thought they were going to win that game today against the Chargers, and they came pretty close. So I think they're getting there.
Yeah.
It's just nice to be able to turn on the game and not just feel like, oh God, here we go again. So it's
it is a good feeling to know you at least might have a chance.
So yeah, so it's so the games have been, for the most part, have been pretty good to watch, and I'm actually kind of glad that the Raiders won on Thursday night, because that's what the Rams play next, and I didn't want the Rams to be the team that lost to Oakland for the first time, so that pressure is kind of off next week.
Yeah,
so that's a good feeling. And then just overall in the league, I was kind of looking at the standings. Just, it's interesting. It's just really bunched up as far as, like, teams vying for a wild card and stuff like that. So it should be a fun playoff push down the stretch for these teams that are involved.
Oh, absolutely.
And although it's funny, I'm looking at the NFC South, and you got the Saints are in first place at 4-6.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's insane.
Makes me think. I think a few years ago, if you remember, Seattle won the West at 7-9, so we might have a situation like that this year.
I think we might, man.
So that should be interesting. And then, other than that, yeah, everything else is, you know, I'm looking at the, you know, Dallas plays tonight, so they can catch up with Philadelphia. You know, Green Bay, Detroit are a game with one another. So,
England, ever since that horrible loss of Kansas City, they've looked great.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like, it just, like, they, like a light switch kind of came on. They got their offensive line figured out, and they've just been on a roll ever since. So, I know people were ready to, had the shovels out for Tom Brady. It's like, well, you know, not so fast. So they seem to always find a way. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be, the AFC North's insane. We got seven win teams and one 6-win team. Who would have thought that the Browns would be 7-4?
I know. There's been talk. Their schedule's been kind of easy thus far, but I think it's still impressive though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then the AFC West with the Broncos, Kansas City, and San Diego. Yeah, it's going to shape up to be a really solid solid end of the season, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And you mentioned the AFC North. Yeah, Baltimore's in last place at 6-4.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So yeah, it should be good down the stretch. And Thanksgiving, it's actually gonna be, there's actually three pretty good games this year. It's like, wow, because I think
you usually got a lot of duds, right?
Yeah, but yeah, I got Chicago, Detroit, Philly, Dallas, and then Seattle, San Fran is the night game.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's a solid triple header, and then I saw, and I think my Rangers get a, and then followed Black Friday. I think the Rangers play the Flyers at 1:00, so I'll be a good sports stretch there.
Oh yeah, that's fantastic.
So that's we got some. I wish our teams were in the playoff hunt, man. But hopefully next year, you know.
Yeah, no, I'll give it another decade. No, we'll
have
a chance.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe the Rams will trade for RG3 and they'll give some draft picks up, and maybe he needs a fresh start.
Yeah,
Who knows?
Yeah, man. Hopefully. I don't know. I don't even know what to think about him anymore. But yeah, it's inevitable that the Redskins will destroy a player and then he goes somewhere else and he'll be fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, that seems to be the way sometimes. You think a guy's done and then he finds that next team and then he's good to go. So we'll see how it goes. I'm looking. It should be interesting. Sports talk radio in our area tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. And then we look at the – we haven't talked in a while, so I was curious to get your thoughts on college football-wise, just how you felt about, you know, Penn State's season thus far and how they've played. I know there's been some ups and some downs, so how's it been for you with them this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty entertaining season. I was up at the Ohio State game when they lost in overtime. I think, like I told you, it was one of the best losses I've ever been to. It's a really entertaining game. Couldn't believe they actually hung in it, you know, but then they come out like this weekend and are flat and lose to Illinois. So, I mean, but to be honest, at the beginning of the season, I would have been happy with, you know, I would have said 6-7 wins is a good season. The fact that they could have beat Ohio State, they should have won this weekend.
Yeah. But,
it's just their, you know, their offensive line is horrible. They've got a ton of freshmen and sophomores on the team right now. Within 2 years, if Hackenberg can get his head on straight, just because he's been beat up so long this season, I think it's starting to kind of affect his psyche a little bit, because he just has no time to get the ball away. But hopefully it's a little concerning just because we're this deep in the season, you would think the line would be progressing.
Sure, yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it really is. So hopefully they get some. I mean, it's just, especially in college ball, it's just rare that you get a recruit as a freshman that comes on the O-line and makes a difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because the kids coming out of high school are just so small, they need that year or two to build up muscle and gain weight. So hopefully on the off season something clicks between the guys left on the line, and we'll see. But as far as the skill position, I mean, we have insane people at the skill positions. So, and you know, Hackenberg, if he has time and, you know, can get some kind of repetition without having to be worried about getting killed every play. Yeah. I think he could be really good. You know, we have great receivers. We're going to lose Hull and some DBs, but overall I think we still have a solid core of linebackers there. Zettel, this defensive back, is fantastic. So I think our D is still going to be pretty good next year. But they're going to a bowl. I think that's a huge victory. We weren't supposed to go to a bowl in the beginning of the season. So I think just more than anything else, getting those extra practices. I don't even care what they do in the bowl, but just being able to play more and practice more is what they really need. but yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I expected. The fact that they had a chance to beat Ohio State and I'm expecting a bloodbath against Michigan State next weekend, but
yeah, I was about to ask you about that.
He's one of those teams that'll come out and surprise you and keep it within a field goal. Who the heck knows what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, I was about to ask you about how you felt about that game.
Yeah, and I mean they looked great 2 weeks ago against Indiana, but I thought they were gonna. It was finally like it looked like the O line might have clicked, and they were running the ball all over the place, and then boom, we hit Illinois and it was bad. So, as with Indiana, it was Temple that we played really well.
Yeah,
and Temple had a pretty good defense too. So I was like, okay, this could be the turning point, but they just didn't look too good this past weekend. So, and it's just to be, I mean, they have like 40 some scholarships, and everybody else has 75 scholarships. I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I remember when we talked before the season, I think we said, yeah, that we thought, like, you know, there's like 7-8 win potential. They've won 6 games so far. So yeah, I think they've kind of, you know, accomplished what we thought we did. So they would.
Yeah, you know, now looking at it, 7-8 wins is a pretty lofty expectation.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, the verdict's still out on Franklin. Like, I really like his energy, and I think he's an amazing recruiter, but I think the attitude is just a little too much sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, calm down, buddy, and do your job. And it's almost like he's, like, so over the top. He's starting to feel, like, a little superficial.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a little too much. So I just, he would just ground himself a little bit more and not be so over the top all the time.
Yeah, I gotcha. That kind of like goes like the Johnny Rah Rah type.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, the verdict's still out there whether or not, you know, we already know he's an amazing recruiter, but is he a good coach? And you obviously got to give him a couple years to prove that. Going to a bowl with the crap situation he was handed, I think it is good.
It's impressive.
But as far as coaching, like, O'Brien really our tight ends are amazing. We have, you know, Jesse James, he's a freak of nature, and Kyle Carter had an amazing season, so we know he can be good, but he just completely abandoned utilizing the tight ends. And, you know, he's played some crazy trick plays, and it's not like, you know, he'll try it once, but then he'll run it 3 times in a row. It's like very confusing to me. The Wildcat hasn't worked. He still tries it all season. I remember it being like 3rd and goal on like the 6, and he lines up like our fullback in the Wildcat formation and tries to get to the end zone. I'm like, what are you thinking, man?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
So there's just been some like suspect play calls, but overall, I really can't complain. So we'll see how bad Michigan State beats them, and we'll see what they do in the bowl game.
Absolutely. This first year with the busting out the playoff system, how have you liked this system so far? You know, the last couple of weeks coming out with like the top 4 rankings and stuff. How have you felt? Do you think this is a good thing for college football?
Yeah, you know, I think they've actually done a halfway decent job, because, you know, in the BCS system, that Mississippi State loss would have put them at, like, you know, in 10th place, but yeah, they've actually held them in the top 4 because they've had a pretty tough schedule, and, you know, I still think they're up there in the top 5 teams in the country.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think they're looking at it. I mean, you could argue that forever about which team should be in the top 4, but compared to the BCS, I think it's definitely doing a lot better so far. You know, and Florida State's 10-0, and they're ranked 3rd, and I, you know, the BCS would have put them there at top, no doubt.
No,
and,
yeah, yep.
They definitely are just like squeaking by some of these really bad teams.
Yep.
You know, so I think a 9-1 Alabama, yes, is better. And I think if they both played on the field, Alabama would probably win. So Ohio State being number 6 is a little suspect because they're not that great, too. I think Baylor's probably better than Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you
and
on that, too.
TCU, I mean, I don't know. They've looked good and they've looked bad, too. So, oh, yeah. I think they're doing a pretty good job for the first time around.
I agree. I feel like you mentioned, I think it takes a closer look than the BCS might have. It just, they don't look blindly at the records. It's like, well, who they play, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it does take a closer look, and I think it's so far so good, and everything's been pretty fair to this point.
So, agreed. I just hate that Alabama is at the top again.
Yeah. It is, yeah, it seems like it's a
kind of over that.
Yeah, it seems like it's definitely the ongoing thing. So, yeah, it'll be cool to see how it shapes up when, you know, the season's, you know, officially over. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's been good so far. I know people have been clamoring for, like, a playoff system forever now, so that we've finally got it, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be expanded too. I don't ever see it going past 8 teams.
Yeah, that'll be tough, I think, yeah.
But I think it'll get to at least 6, you know, if not 8 eventually.
Yeah, yeah, I could see up to about 8, I think, would be the max. But I could definitely see them doing that in the next year, couple of years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say, yeah, because if you any more than that, I think it kind of devalues it a bit. But I think 8's a good number.
Yeah, that's what's pretty exciting, too, is, and I know that was the big worry, is, you know, college football is great because every game matters.
Yep.
But I think with just 4 teams, you still got that feeling that every game you play is super important.
Exactly.
Especially, yeah. You know, the proof is in the pudding right there with Florida State going undefeated, and they're still ranked 3 just because of the nature of how they beat the teams.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point, too, yeah. So, but yeah, so I'm enjoying keeping track, and it's fun kind of when they reveal it each week, oh, the top 4, so it's...
Yeah, does it come out Tuesday every week, right?
I believe so, yes, yeah, yep. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely been good, so we'll keep an eye on that. And then I thought we'd take maybe a chance to talk hockey, take a few minutes on that. And the Caps are... you know, another coach with Trotz. So it seems like it's almost like rinse, lather, repeat with the Caps. You know, go a couple of years, and then it's time for a new coach. And then they got off to we were talking before we started the show. You know, they got off to a hot start, and now they're kind of hovering around 500. So I guess just is that, do you see that kind of being their MO? They'll be like a 500 team, or do you think they have enough, you know, enough talent and such that they'll kind of bust loose and they'll be closer to the top as we get closer to the All-Star break and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Since I started school, I think I've watched one full Capitals game. And I have not been paying attention to them much. But I know with all the talent they have that they are definitely at least going to hang in there all season. Whether or not they blow up like they did in the beginning of the season, we'll see. But I'm going to try to start watching them a lot more. But yeah, it's just another thing. Like you said, they've rotated so many different regimens. It's like, I just don't follow any sports teams other than, obviously, Joe Pop.
Yeah.
That have, like, a consistent regimen. So
yes.
It's just really difficult to deal with having that many head coaches in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, you think that, like, you think franchise would follow the, like, you know, the Steelers have, I think, 3 coaches in their history, something like that. So,
yeah.
And they've had a pretty good run of success in there. So it's just, yeah, I think consistency is such a key to having a successful franchise. I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, and they're running out of time. The young guns aren't young anymore. I mean, we're going on 10 years now since Ovi joined the team, which is insane to think to me. But, yeah, I mean, they got to get their shit together quick. They need to figure it out quick or else they're going to be getting a new coach and getting an entire new team. So,
yeah, you really hate to see them waste Ovechkin's prime like this.
Yep. So hopefully they can put it together. And, yeah, we'll just have to see what they do over this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's funny. Cause, I mean, the Penguins have won a cup, and I know they feel like they're wasting Crosby's prime, and they've won a cup already. So yeah. I can imagine, you know, how Caps fans feel.
I feel like the Caps would be in the same. Even if they won a cup, they would probably be saying the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you have somebody like Crosby, you feel like you just win the cup every year. And the fact that, like, what's different from the Caps and the Penguins is the Penguins do have one of the best records every year.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
I mean, they're always good.
Yeah, it's never a question if they're going to make the playoffs or not. It's just how far they're going to go once in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. That's like, you know, I've always thought about that predicament. Is it nice to have a really good team and maybe one, you know, maybe win one championship or not at all, or just have a Redskins situation where they're just bad forever?
Yeah.
You know, like the Eagles, they were so good with McNabb there for that 3 or 4 year gap. They're always winning the NFC title, but they never really won the big thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, you know, would you rather, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, would you rather be consistently good and never win? Yeah. Uh-huh. Or maybe just or just be kind of like where you have that one great year where you win the title and then the rest of the years are kind of mediocre. I know, it's definitely a tough call.
I think I'd rather just be crappy like I am and just not expect anything.
It makes it, I think it's easier to take the loss. To me, in my sports fan experience, I'm always more upset when my team's expected to win and they lose.
Yeah, like I couldn't imagine being a Buffalo Bills fan in the early 90s.
Oh, when they went lost four in a row, Super Bowls? Yeah.
Four straight Super Bowls in a row?
Yep.
No, I mean, that's the worst.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, you think you win one of those. Yeah, so I know, that's what I mean. Because I know as a Yankees fan, you know, they're expected to, when they get to the playoffs, they're expected to win the World Series. So I was always more upset when they would lose than, say, like when the Rangers get knocked out of the playoffs. I'm always much more upset when the Yankees lose because there's that expectation that they're going to win.
Yep.
So I know what you mean about that. It's when you're like the Rams and the Redskins, we go in each week thinking we hope they're going to win, but we're, well, depending on who they're playing, we're usually pretty sure they're not going to, so it doesn't sting as badly.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of the Rangers, they're I think a point behind the Caps, so they're kind of in the same spot where they're just kind of hovering around 500. They had some tough injuries to start the season. You know, there's top center Derek Stepan got hurt, so he was out for the first 10 games until he, you know, recovered from a fracture, and then they got Dan Boyle's a defenseman to kind of help QB their power play, and he gets hurt in like the first second games. So he was out for a while, so you got these kids called up and stuff, and it was just kind of a mess for a while. So I think as they get healthy and hopefully, because it's tough with hockey, because even though you have X amount of depth in the minor leagues, it's just when one guy goes out, it just messes up your whole line structure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, once everyone's healthy and everyone has their place, it just makes for much more fluid hockey. So I'm not going to, you know, panic too much. I would have liked to the Rangers, after being in the finals last year, I would have liked to have seen them kind of get off to a roaring start like where the Penguins and Islanders are right now. Islanders, man, 14-6, by the way. That's pretty darn good. But so I would like to have seen the Rangers get off to a start like that. But I know this is kind of what they do. They kind of, you know, they start kind of slow, and then they find their push midseason and, you know, get hot near the end of the playoffs, to, you know, or get hot in the regular season to make the playoffs. And then away we go. So, but as we know, last year, you know, the division restructure, it's tougher to make the playoffs now. You got to finish in, you know, those top three slots, or it's just shaky from there.
Yeah.
Because I thought that's what kind of hurt the Caps last year was the division realignment, because they used to just feast on that Southeast division, and it almost got a playoff berth just by showing up for 82 games.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's 2 months in, so it's just so early in hockey. There's, you know, so many games, so, you know, we'll check back in and see how these teams are doing once, you know, another month or two. But yeah, so I thought we'd just check in on the teams, but hopefully Rangers and Caps both make the playoffs this season.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. Yep.
And then, since we haven't, you know, I think our last podcast, we talked about what shows we were kind of anticipating watching, you know, pop culture wise. I thought we'd take a few minutes in the pop culture corner. I was curious. I know you, you're enjoying, I guess I should ask you, are you enjoying Homeland? I caught up, I'm 1 week, I didn't get to watch last Sunday's, but I've watched up until then over the weekend. I caught up. So how have you liked Homeland so far this season?
Yeah, I thought we had talked about, you know, whether they're going to be okay with Brody.
Yeah.
Being gone, but, you know, I like Saul. I think he was one of the best characters in the show. So I think it's been really good. I'm surprised it's better than I thought it would be. And then, you know, Quinn has a bigger role in this series too, and I like his. I've begun to like his character a lot more. So I think he helps out too, and I think the storyline's really interesting. And I think I think because it's relevant too with everything else is going on in the world.
Yes.
When you're watching it, you know, I know it's completely sensationalized, and most of it doesn't work like it does in Homeland. But
sure, yeah.
It's just, you know, it's interesting because, you know, these are the types of things that are going on around the world right now.
Yeah, it's a good point, because I know, especially this year, I know Saul's mentioned, like, 9/11 a lot and stuff, and just, yeah, they're really touching on, you know, real-life stuff, so it has been, I agree, I've enjoyed it so far. I know it's always going to be kind of up and down and kind of inconsistent as far as quality episode to episode, but it's definitely kept my interest, and I wasn't sure how I like it without the Brody character, but you're right. I think one of the things with them killing him off last year was that it has opened the door up a little bit more for Quinn, a character I like too.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's been good. I started watching The Affair. I was like, I don't know, but I read that you know, it got really good reviews. So I started watching that, and that's absolutely fantastic. I think they do a really good job of doing it from the, you know, they do half an episode from the girl's perspective, half from the guy's perspective. But the differences are, like, really subtle, you know? So it's not, like, this drastic different story. And it's really interesting to see how they film that and portray the guy and the girl's point of view. So I think that's what's most fascinating about the show. And I think they do a really good job with it. And it looks like it's going to get pretty scandalous towards the end. So that's been really good. And I get excited to watch both of those shows on a Sunday night.
Nice. Yeah, that's when I want to... I've heard good things about that, too. So I got to... check out the, yeah, I mean, like I said, this weekend I did kind of like a Homeland marathon trying to catch up, and maybe I'll do that next weekend with the holiday. I'll try to catch up on The Affair, because I've heard good things about that. So, yeah, I'll definitely check that one out, too. The other cable show I've picked back up, or I watched it, The Newsroom is two episodes in, so those have both been pretty good so far.
Yeah. And then I binge-watched House of Lies. I loved that. I thought that last season was good. I think the new one comes out in January.
Yes. Yep.
Catching up with Shameless, that's still pretty good, I think. It's just a pretty entertaining show. It's nothing deep or anything like that, but it's just entertaining.
Yeah, not every show has to be. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing that has caught my attention most is the radio podcast Serial, and that has been phenomenal. And I've seen tons of podcasts pop up online just about that show. But the concept of that show is just fantastic. And that's one of those things that I haven't in a while gotten excited for something to come out every week, but that podcast is just fascinating to me. So I get so excited. They release it real early in the morning every Thursday. And they're not doing one this week because of Thanksgiving.
Sure,
it's super bitter, so it's a hiatus. It sucks. But that podcast, highly recommend, and it's a fantastic podcast.
That's what I've heard. I think I saw there's a story in the Washington Post about it, I think, last week. So, yeah, I've been, like, seeing it. Like, I've been seeing people comment about it online and stuff, so I'll have to check that out. Yeah, because I'm just hearing such great things, and like something that can hook you in week to week like that.
Man.
Yeah,
I haven't. Not one person I've recommended it to that has listened to it has not gotten back to me and said it's horrible.
How long are the recordings? Do they vary week to week, or are they the same amount of time each week?
They vary week to week, and I mean that's kind of the cool concept about it.
Yeah,
each show. And the season, it just goes till she comes to a conclusion. So there's no really defined time for an episode or the season. It's been averaging around, like, on a shorter one, it'll be like 20, 25 minutes. A longer one will be around 45 minutes.
Okay.
But yeah, it probably averages around a half hour.
That's perfect. That's perfect amount of time. How did you catch wind of it originally?
Well, I'm an NPR junkie, so...
Okay, yeah.
I just heard them promoting it, and then Kim said everybody at her school was raving about it, so I was like, I'm just going to wait for some episodes to build up before I give it a shot, because I knew it was this series. About a month ago... or about like 3 weeks ago, I decided to listen to it, and it was fantastic.
Nice. I was curious, actually, you mentioned your wife there. I was curious, does she watch How to Get Away with Murder at all? Did she actually check that out, do you know?
How to Get Away with Murder?
Yeah, it's an ABC show, and part of it takes place like in a law school, so I was just curious if she If she watched it, yeah.
I mean, us being in school, we really don't have time to consume a lot of content.
Yeah, that's why. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but I'll ask her. I'll tell her about it. Do you watch it?
I do. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad. I was more so curious because I'm always interested when people who are in a situation, like if they watch a show, it's realistic or not. Cause like when doctors watch, like say Grey's Anatomy,
they
or something like that. So I'm always curious, like someone, like a real law student, if they would see that and say, oh, that's how it is, or that's not how it is kind of thing. So,
that's why I like, listening to Serial too. Cause Kim loves it too. And like, she is like, looking up court records, everybody, and like digging a lot deeper than anybody else is.
Yeah.
And she knows why certain things in the court happen the way they do. So it's interesting to get her input while you're listening to it, because a lot of times you're thinking to yourself, like, why didn't they just do so and so? And then Kim has the knowledge to say, like, you know, legally they can't do that. There's a lot of stuff in the legal field, because like crime cases, like in Serial, there's a lot of just like obvious stuff that you think you can do, but because of the way the judicial system's set up, there's a lot of things you can't do that you would think you'd be able to do.
Gotcha.
So that's really interesting. And yeah, she would probably say the same thing if she watched that show.
Yeah. Yeah. So that show's okay. I think the biggest problem I have with it is just that, cause Viola Davis is a great actor. She's the lead. She plays this law professor. And I think they don't utilize her enough, because like she has like this group of law students who kind of work with her or work for her, and they're not that interesting. So I think if they really focus the show more on her, like that show Damages with Glenn Close, she was in every scene. I think they utilized Viola Davis more, I think it would be a better show. But that'd be my biggest complaint. So you got this 2-time Academy Award nominee, you should pump her into every scene possible. That's just my. My two cents, but like I said, yeah, it's always interesting when people who are in a profession or situation like watch a show. Like for us, watching like Mad Men. We work in marketing, so it's just interesting to see how they kind of operate when they have like campaigns and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So it's one show I picked up, and then I watch Gotham on Fox, which is steadily improved. And I think that's the only other new show I really watch. And there's The Flash premiered this year too, which is decent if you're like, you like the comic book stuff. But other than that, there's not too many other new network shows I watch. I mean, for me, cable, I think is where it's at as far as quality content when it comes to TV.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, and I don't think I've been to the movies. I saw Birdman a week or two ago, which was pretty good. And I'll probably catch the new Hunger Games movie at some point in the next couple weeks.
Sweet.
So that's all I got for the pop culture end. I thought we'd close out by just we're less than a week away from Thanksgiving now. So I was wondering, Mr. Beer Expert here, Mr. Grant, if you had any suggestions that might make people hit up the Thanksgiving dinner if they brought a 6-pack of something to dinner on Thursday.
Well, it's obviously pumpkin time.
Yes.
So I've recommended Schlafly's pumpkin ale last couple years, and that is by far one of my favorite pumpkin beers of all time. And then Southern Tier's pumpkin is great. But one that seems like has gained popularity, and you can actually find it a lot of places where you couldn't find it before, is Warlock, and it's from Southern Tier 2, and it's a dark version. It's a dark pumpkin beer, and it's really, really good. So it looks like a stout, but it's got a pumpkin twist to it, and it's like the child or the brother of their pumpkin beer. So if you see Warlock on the shelves, highly recommend it. It'll keep you nice and toasty. Drink a bottle of that, and you'll be giggling and having some fun at the Thanksgiving table.
Nice. Awesome.
But other than that, since I've, been in school, I have not had a ton of time to drink a ton of beer. So, but Warlock, definitely anything from Southern Tier Brewery, they make, fantastic beer. They have this other beer called Creme Brulee, and they have a beer called Chocolat. You mix those half and half, it makes like a crazy good dessert beer.
Ooh,
or awesome. Either of them by themselves are a really good dessert beer too. So kind of more on the sweeter side of things during Thanksgiving. And yeah, there's just a ton of stouts and pumpkin beers out now. But you see something here on the shelves, definitely pick something up.
Nice. Sounds perfect. It's crazy to think that Thanksgiving is just a few days away now.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. Well, that's good stuff, man. Well, this has been good. I'm glad we're able to get back on the horn. This is good. I'm glad we're able to do this today.
Yeah, buddy. Thanksgiving edition GD podcast coming at you.
Yes. So, we appreciate you listening. Enjoy the holiday, long weekend if you're so fortunate. And like I said, you can follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.